Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop alongside him. Kevin Ingram, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. Vanderbilt and Duke in the NCAA Super Regional over at Hawkins Field starting this afternoon at 5 o'clock. And we are joined now by head coach Tim Corbin. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Morning, Kevin.
I was going to lead off by asking you your opinion on the no call in the third period of the Bruins and Blues last night, but I didn't know if that was a good idea or not.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That was a real tough one. But, yeah, I probably don't want to start there on officiating or umpiring or anything like that. Don't want to get off to a bad start.
There you go.
How did you like Cam Neely's form when he threw that water bottle?
Pretty good. Cam put on a little bit of weight, but, yeah, that was still pretty good form.
Yeah, a lefty. What are you hearing about the weather for this weekend?
I don't know. I mean, that's just one of those things where it's you know, it's just kind of out of your hands. So, you know, you look at storms and it's just for 3-4 days, but I don't know. We'll just try to do the best we possibly can. You got to play in it at some point. And, you know, when you get that deep into Monday, it makes it tough because you got to get them in. So we'll have to do something about that.
You had 13 players chosen in the draft. Is it a bit of a relief to have that done? You know, that timing's never the best to have the draft in the middle of the postseason. But, you know, regardless of timing, it also has to be a really a cool thing for you to see those guys get that reward.
Yeah, the guys who get rewarded, it's cool. But the timing's horrible. I mean, it really puts the kids in a very difficult position. It's one of celebration, which is great. But it's not the J.J. Bledays I worry about. It's guys who are on the edge of their seat just hoping that they get drafted. And the ones that don't, it's tough because, you know, it's conversations and it's, you know, they feel let down and, you know, you're told a lot of different things when you're a junior or a draft eligible sophomore. And when it doesn't go your way, there's a range of emotions and then we're, you know, playing through it. So no, it's horrible timing. It just never made any sense to me. But anyway, it's great that those kids get selected because it means that they've developed inside of our program and certainly happy for them.
Julian Infante was one of those. He was also the MVP last weekend. How satisfying has it been to see him, you know, as a senior, have the success? You know, a guy who's we've talked about before has had his struggles, but it was such a beloved part of the program and has stayed the course and now playing really well.
Well, he has. I mean, he gets everything he deserves. He's just a kid that has given a lot to a lot of people while he's been inside here. And, you know, last weekend was kind of a culmination of that. He's not done yet, but it was great to see him play so well, sitting in the nine hole and gathering so many runs for us, driving in runs, and then named MVP on the very same day that he lost one of his best friends. So, years ago, one of the toughest days in our program with Donnie. So it was very out for him. It was just a great moment.
Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin, our guest, his team playing in the Super Regional tonight against Duke, best of three this weekend.
Well, Coach Hingy mentioned it a little bit there. You got 13 guys drafted, which was a record, let alone SEC record for Vanderbilt. How proud are you of that, even in one season, or is that something kind of in the backdrop that you're so focused on winning in the regionals?
Well, I mean, once you start to do things, then you just kind of move forward with it. I mean, they've had some nice accomplishments through the year, team-wise and individually. And every time we climb a certain level of a mountain, then you just kind of look back down, see what you've done, now start climbing again. And that's kind of really where we are. They've been very consistent. I think that's the thing that I've told you folks over and over, and it's true. I don't have no other word for it because they're ability to stay centered has really helped us and helped them individually. And they kind of just take things as they are. They don't over celebrate. They're not overconfident. They're very contained in their behaviors. And that just speaks to the age and the maturation of the kids as a whole. But They just always seek the next step, and that's what we're trying to do.
We were jokingly talking about, if it was a rain delay, where do the teams go to do their practicing and in the batting cages? Do they share with you guys? How does that whole process work? If you know it's going to be a long delay, it's going to be at least, 30 minutes to an hour delay. What typically happens?
Well, they have locker rooms for them with the football locker rooms that they can use. But in terms of training facilities, we're fine that way. We've got, the cages. We've got the pitching lab. So we can always go inside. And we've done that on many occasions. And we've done it really when it's been really warm. And rather than get the kids out there in game three, game four, game five and taking BP, then we typically would go inside. And I think, this time of year, you reduce a lot of things that you have done during the year just because of the volume catching up with the kids. And now that we're in game 63, you're trying to minimize those as much as possible while staying sharp. So, but from a rain standpoint, we're okay that way. It's just a matter of getting on the field. And it's puddled up right now, and it just doesn't sound like it is going to be a lot of stoppage. So I just hope that at some point we can find a window to play and get this thing started.
Well, we're jokingly actually adding on to that was talking about the visiting team. They don't have access to a lot of things that y'all do. So I guess clarify that, because we were joking. We really don't know.
They do. They have access. Yeah, they have access to the cages. They have access to the lab. I mean, we have, when during a regional, we have to split it with them. So they utilize everything that we do.
All right.
Tim, have you been able to pinpoint what happened with Tyler Brown in the game on Saturday when he had an atypical outing where they were just able to barrel, five or six at-bats in a row on him? Anything you were able to find?
Not really. I mean, you're right. I mean, when you're sitting there watching that, either at the major league level or in Tyler's case, that's not normal for a team to get the barrel on balls in succession like that, a couple times, three times maybe, but then you start thinking, oh boy. But, to their credit, the balls that were thrown, Mark, were centered. They were center cut, fastballs and so on. And he does throw hard, but it's towards the end of the game when you're playing for your life, their teams have done that before, but we've looked a lot of film. We've tried to find everything that we possibly can. I mean, with the amount of film on synergy for college teams now, you can get to the point where you can see just about everything. And we do a lot of self-scouting ourselves because we just don't want to be tipping pitches at second base, showing grips, breathing mechanisms where shoulders are going up and down on fastballs, subtly moving on breaking balls. It's just all the small things that you can see with a pitcher, the giveaways that now can be detected by other teams. So we've kind of searched that through pretty good, but at the same time, we haven't really found anything. And trust me, we've been on it for quite some time.
Duke was a pretty good team during the regular season, but ramped it up at the West Virginia Regional. What changed for them, especially in terms of what might have you concerned about this matchup?
Well, they're pitching, I think, first and foremost, because they shut down two very good teams last week. They did something to Texas A&M that we couldn't, and that is beat them twice, and then they kept them off the scoreboard. And then they took a very athletic West Virginia team that was playing very, very well and hosting in front of a big audience and completely shut them down. So I think that number one is the biggest thing is their pitching and how we can get through that. And I think number two offensively is stopping them. They're very physical. They're playing with a little bit of magic right now. They're very confident. They're very contained. I've watched them. Chris Pollard's done a very nice job with his team. He's a very good coach and he's continued to build the program. What he's done with that group though is he's lost some very good players last year, but they really didn't skip a beat. They got into year two here, and some of those background players that helped them get to a super regional last year at Texas Tech are now really flourishing well and playing well for that team. So, yeah, they're very good. They pose a lot of problems in a lot of different areas.
If it goes three games, who's your game three starter?
Great question, because I think the thing about the game one and game two is looking at your bullpen and how a guy like Hickman or how a guy like Ravy could insert themselves into certain situations. So I think what we'll do is, you know, the old game, one game at a time. But I think, you know, when you just look at this, I think that's really where we're at. I think we just got to say, okay, this is what we do, and this is how we're going to do it. And if we get to that situation, we'll deal with it then. But I think we got to eat what's on our plate right now. So we just try to make both of them active if we can.
All right, it's National Donut Day. What's your choice of donuts?
Oh, it would be, well, if I'm if Maggie, we're going directly to Dunkin' Donuts. But Five Daughters is I mean, that isn't even a donut. That's a pastry. Have you guys had that yet?
Yeah, I have had one, and Schaefer said he had two.
Yeah, I haven't, Coach.
You can't eat two of those things. Those things are huge. They're good. I guess that would want to, you know, either one of those, and I'm probably selling someone short, but those are the two that we probably would go for.
Man, good choices. Hey, Coach, good luck this weekend. We appreciate the time.
Good luck, Coach.
Thanks
appreciate
so much.
Coach.
Okay, good luck. Thanks, guys.
All right. Vanderbilt coach Tim Corbin, his team in the Super Regional in the NCAA tournament against Duke starting tonight, best of three. Winner goes to Omaha.
Didn't hurt to ask.
No, that's right.